The book of Philippians, please. Chapter 2 and verse 5 is our text this morning. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Many of you are familiar with biographies. A biography is a book that tells another person's life story. I'd encourage you to read as much as possible. I would encourage you especially to read the lives of the great servants of God of a former day. Let me point out to you that there are two types of biography that you can read. There is the biography that is just a simple statement of the facts of a person's life. That can be very useful, very helpful, very interesting. But there is another type of biography that goes much further, goes much deeper. And that's the type of biography which, in addition to all the details and facts of a person's life, it actually reveals to you the heart and mind of the person that is the subject of that book. It reveals, it makes known to you their thoughts and their feelings. As we sometimes say, it lets you see what actually makes them tick. And I want to stress, brethren and sisters, that that is the best type of biography. They're more interesting, they're more helpful, they're more challenging, more profitable. As far as the author is concerned, they're harder to write, because you need to have known that person very well. There's a lot more work required, a lot more research that is needed. And as you think of that type of biography that reveals the heart and mind of a person, I want to point out to you on this Christmas Eve that that is the type of biography that the Bible gives about the Saviour. It gives to us more than the facts of his birth and of his life and his ministry when he was here on earth. For example, our text this morning teaches us all about the first coming of the Saviour. Maybe when you have read this passage in the past, you've never thought of this portion relating to the birth of the Lord Jesus. But what it reveals to us is this: the vast downward steps that the Lord Jesus took at the incarnation, the vast downward steps that he took when he left the heights of heaven to stoop down to the shame of the cross of Calvary. But these verses go much further than that. They go much further than just stating the facts of the incarnation, because these verses teach us the very mind of Christ at the time of the incarnation. They reveal to us what sort of thinking governed or motivated Christ at the time of his coming into this world. And Paul lists for us here several of the great characteristics of the mind of Christ when he came to be our Saviour. And I want to mention just three of those to you very briefly this morning. You think, first of all, as you think of the mind of Christ, think that he had a servant's mind. If you look at the words of verse 7, it says he took upon him the form of a servant. When the Saviour came into this world, that's how he thought of himself. Thought of himself as a servant. In other words, he thought of himself as the lowest and the meanest of men. Because remember, brethren and sisters, that is what a servant actually is. And that was the office the Lord Jesus took upon himself. The form of a servant. Can I ask you to think of that for a moment and ask yourself the question, brother or sister, have you taken that office, taken that position, the form of a servant? Maybe you would want to think or say or suggest that that position's too low for you. It ought not to be the case, of course. Remember, Isaiah describes the Lord Jesus as the servant of Jehovah, and he describes him as the servant of the Lord. But he was actually more than that, because he was also the servant of men. You remember the disciples? They were disputing one day going along the way. They were disputing who should be the greatest. And remember, that still goes on in congregations. And maybe it takes place here from time to time. There's disputes and struggles. Who should be the greatest? And the Savior said to them on that occasion, "I am among you as he that serveth." Isn't that a tremendous statement, men and women? And let us learn from it today. The disciples, they thought of themselves as the greatest. They thought of themselves as being those who were ordering everyone else about. But yet how different the Lord Jesus was. He thought of himself as the least, as the lowest, as serving. And I say to you this morning, we need to imitate that. Sadly, too many want to rule. Too many want to be the boss. Too many want to be the head. In churches, there are too many chiefs. Some people think that they are above serving others. I have to say to you today, if you think like that, your thinking's not right. It's certainly not in line with the teaching of the Word of God. You don't have the mind of Christ. Hudson Taylor, on one occasion, he was asked to speak at a great missionary convention in Melbourne, in Australia. He was introduced as our illustrious guest. Whenever he got up to speak quietly, he said to the vast throng that was gathered, "I'm just the little servant of an illustrious master." On one other occasion, Hudson Taylor was staying in some accommodation with a young missionary. The young man, not long in the field, he'd come from a very well-to-do background, a very well-to-do family. And when he was going to bed that night, the young man set his boots outside the door. He had been used to doing that in the home in which he grew up. The servant would take them during the night and clean them and set them back again. When he got up the next morning and opened the door, the boots were cleaned. But it was the veteran missionary Hudson Taylor that had cleaned his boots for him very early that morning. Those illustrate for us a man that had the mind of a servant. He was one that serveth. And brethren and sisters, we need to be like Christ in this respect too. We need to remember, we need to think of ourselves as servants of our illustrious master, servants of Jesus Christ, or as many of those in the Old Testament were described as servants of the Lord. So he had a servant's mind. I want you to see in the second place, you think of the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It says that he had a humble mind in verse 8. We're told he humbled himself. Think of those words. He humbled himself. When our Savior came into the world, he humbled himself in order to do so. His mind, his thinking, his attitude was characterized by humility. Those that learned the shorter catechism, those young people will know that it talks about the two estates of Christ, his state of humiliation and a state of exaltation. And both are set out here for us in Philippians chapter 2. The verses that we're considering especially, down to verse 8, that's his humiliation. And then from verse 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him," that's his estate of exaltation. So I want you to think of his mind, his thinking, his attitude, characterized by great humility. Can I ask you today, are you like that? Or are you one of those believers described in another place in the New Testament that thinks of themselves more highly than they ought? Can I say to you, brethren and sisters, that what God is looking for is humility? "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. See how often that exhortation is found in the scriptures. We're to humble ourselves. The New Testament says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God's looking for humility of heart and mind. The Savior said when he was here on earth, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. We're to learn from Christ. We're to learn from Christ even at his birth. We're to be like him in his humility. If I could ask you for a moment or two just to listen to one or two scriptures. The book of Romans says, be not high-minded, but fear. The idea of being high-minded has been just too full of yourself. That's not to be the mark, the characteristic of a Christian. Think of the words of Paul to the Colossians, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. With some Christians, there's absolutely no mercy shown to others. Bowels of mercies. Kindness. Are you kind to one to the other? Kind in your home? Kind to your brethren and sisters? And then the next one is humbleness of mind. That's how you think. That's the attitude that you have. The thoughts that go from your heart and mind. Humbleness of mind. Think of what Luke recorded in the book of Acts. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. See how the mind is connected with the humility in so many places? This is to be the mind that we have. God's interested in our thoughts, not just in our words, not just in our deeds. He's interested in how we think, humility of mind. And just to take a moment to point out to you, the book of Philippians, one of the great themes of the book of Philippians is the thinking of the Christian. I would encourage you to read through the four chapters and mark every reference there is to your mind, to your thoughts, to your thinking. God's interested in how you think. Think on these things, for example. There's so many references. This is one of the books that teaches us about the mind, about a healthy thought life for the child of God. God is looking for humility of mind, lowly thoughts about ourselves. I mentioned Hudson Taylor. Let me tell you a story about William Carey, the founder of modern missions. What a brilliant man he was. Translated the word of God into several Indian languages. He was sitting one day at the table of the governor of India. There was a soldier, an officer. And he said, you know, one of those occasions somebody speaks with a loud voice because they want everyone to hear what they're saying. And he said to the person sitting beside him, is it true that William Carey was just a shoemaker? And Carey heard what the man said, and he spoke up in reply, and he said, no, sir, I was just a cobbler. Just a cobbler. Humility of mind. A humble soul with humble thoughts about himself. And we should be the same. Let this mind be in you. He humbled himself. The one other that I'll mention, with thought of the thinking of Christ, he had a servant's mind, he had a humble mind. And think too that he had an obedient mind. It says in verse 8 also, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our Savior's thinking was marked by obedience. No thoughts of rebellion like Lucifer, but only and ever thoughts of obedience. His thinking always was, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This text of Scripture, verse 8 of Philippians 2, teaches us the extent of that obedience, because it says he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What that means, men and women, is this. It's teaching us he was obedient in everything. He obeyed his Father, even when it meant dying in such shame and such agony, even when it meant going to the cross and dying in such a despised and accursed manner. dying for our sins. He obeyed his Father in everything. His obedience, and he's the only one of which this can be said, but his obedience was perfect. His obedience was complete. He said, without exaggeration, I do always those things that please him. There wasn't one point of the Father's will, wasn't one commandment of the Father that the Lord Jesus refused or disobeyed or left unfulfilled. An obedient mind. And the question, brethren and sisters, I pose it to you today as I pose it to my own heart is, do you live like that? You know, there are Christians who say, I'm sure you have heard it, Christians who would say, I would die for Christ. And that's a commendable thing. But remember that Christ hasn't asked you to die for him. What he has asked all of us to do is this, to live for him faithfully every day we're here upon earth. And you know, in many regards, that's harder. With all the challenges, all the struggles, all the temptations, all the disappointments of life and so on, to live faithfully for Christ, that's a great challenge. But that's what he asks you and I to do for him. He wants us to do his will, however hard it might be. He wants us to keep his commandments. He says to all of us today, if ye love me, keep my commandments. In other words, if you profess to be a Christian, if you say you're a child of God, if you say that in your heart there's love for Christ and the things of God, if ye love me, here's the response that will bring from your heart. You will keep his commandments. You will do the things that he asks you to do. John Wesley, on his personal seal, it had three simple words: believe, obey, love. They summarize his life, his experience. They were also the key of his success. But notice the middle one, obey. Obey was at the center of all that he sought to do every day in his life. And brethren and sisters, I urge you today, live your life with that attitude. Live your life every day with the attitude and the outlook, the will of the Lord be done. Whatever that will might be, whatever his command to your heart and to your life may be. So here's a little of the mind of Christ at the incarnation. There's others in the passage. I've just highlighted three: the servant's mind, the humble mind, the obedient mind. But there's quite a few others that we could have dwelt upon there in that portion. You take time to look for those yourself. Just in closing, let me sum it up by saying this. Notice carefully the exhortation that Paul gives in verse 5, the verse we took as our text. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What he's saying, what he's teaching, impressing upon our hearts is, let this mind, the mind of Christ, this is something that should be found in you, found in your life. And I want you to think about that, and I pray the Lord will impress it upon your heart, that you'll take it away and ponder it carefully. God desires you and I to have the same mind as the Savior had when he came into this world, to be marked by the same sort of thinking. Can I point out that the reason that Paul speaks here of the mind of Christ is so that we might follow the Savior's example, so that we might be like Christ in every part of our lives, every part of our testimony, not just the words, not just the deeds. Often those are the things that we just focus on and concentrate upon. We are to live for Christ with our lives. We're to live for Christ with our lips, in the things that we say. Be careful, little lips, what you say. Never say anything that would discredit his name. Never say anything that would grieve the Spirit of God. But remember, men and women, that we're also, don't overlook it, we're to be like Christ in our thinking too. Let this mind be in you. And I ask you, do you have the mind of Christ? Is this the way that you think? The way that's set out for us here by Paul in Philippians 2? If it's not, then what you need is this. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what Paul said when he was writing in Romans chapter 12. There needs to be a transformation. A transformation in your mind. Transformation in your thinking. The psalmist set out the same idea when he said, renew a right spirit. Some Christians have the wrong sort of spirit. Remember it said of Caleb, and it said of Joshua, they had another spirit. Some Christians have the wrong sort of spirit. They have the wrong sort of attitude. There needs to be a renewing take place. Renew a right spirit. Need to have a change of mind. Need your thinking, your attitude to be transformed so that you become more Christ-like. So brethren and sisters, this Christmas time, have the mind of Christ. Display to others in your family. Display to others that you meet wherever the path of life will lead you. Display the attitude our Savior displayed when he first came into this world to be our Savior. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Sometimes people get too caught up with their own reputation. Made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He says, let this mind be in you. May God give us grace that that may be so, and may he bless his word today to all our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Number 8.